Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Takara Williams and Delvin Foster. Delvin is my co-host, and tonight we are going to be discussing the current events that's happening right now in America as we speak. We will cover a variety of topics, and some will hit home with most. It's a lot of emotions, a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, a lot of pain. But I know for me, I wanted to get this platform together for everybody to be able to express themselves and, you know, just get it off your chest, because I know sometimes it's hard to not have to hold something in, and holding things in, you know, it doesn't sit very well. So tonight we want to make sure we give everyone the opportunity to get that off. And one of the things that I wanted to point out is that I know for me, I can't empathize with the black man, but I can sympathize with the black man, because I have black relatives, uncles, cousins, brothers, friends, and I've witnessed growing up what they've experienced with the police and just the way they've been treated. And even had some experiences and encounters with police myself as a young black female. I mean, at the age of 24, a police officer was ready to pull a gun out on me. So I can imagine, you know, just what goes through an innocent person's mind at the time of being apprehended by law enforcement, whom are supposed to protect us and make sure of our safety and that we're okay. Delvin, you there? I see he's on the call, so I'm waiting for him to join us. Delvin, you there? Okay, so we'll just sit back and wait on that. But shortly ago, the Attorney General in Minnesota made the arrest to all the officers involved in Mr. Floyd's death. And it was something that should not have happened. It really shouldn't have happened at all. So I got a call right now. Delvin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Takara?
I got you live and clear, live and clear. So just jumping into it, like I was saying earlier, you know, I can only sympathize with you as a black man. I definitely want to get your feelings, because I can't empathize with you. I can't know what you feel, because there's certain things that you all go through that we as black women won't know how it feels and what to feel. We can, you know, feel your pain as you tell us, but just briefly talk to me about your experiences with the police and how it made you feel as a man.
Okay, before I get started, though, with that, Takara, can we just have a moment of silence for Floyd, for Mr. Floyd and his family?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, Takara, now with that being said, you got to forgive me this evening. It's been a hard week. It's been a hard week. Now, with that being said, to answer your question, first of all, I would like to say it's a beautiful thing to be a black man. I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know, because one thing it has taught me, and I'm pretty sure millions of young black men and men that come before us and those that are coming after us, is going to teach us, and it has taught us, to be strong, for one, because to be born in a world where we are as innocent, coming into the world, have no choices or none of this stuff, and to see that people would automatically bring judgment upon you as you enter earth, God's creation, and to add on to, man, I don't think we have enough time to really talk about the things that I've been through personally, the profiling. But we can say, I can say I first witnessed it in elementary school, where I had to come home and ask my mother, what was the N-word? What is that? What, you know, and she asked me, where did I hear that from? And I spread the story to the world. I had a real good Caucasian white, you know, friend of mine in elementary school. I'll never forget the day. Go over to his house after school one day, playing like kids play. We playing around like we played when we met in school. But when his father pulled up, I guess he was coming in from work, and for him to tell his, ask his little son, why are you out here playing with this N-word? We don't do that. That was his full reply. His son looked like, what are you talking about, Dad? And yes, he made him come in, and I had to come home and didn't understand it. This is my friend. I didn't understand why his father came with such bitterness and told his son those things that I didn't understand at the time, that I had to go home and ask and reply everything that was done to my mother, and she couldn't believe it and told me never again to go around those people that feel that way. And I still didn't understand at such a young age. But then you want to skip a couple years and we go up to middle school, some of the same stuff. I have some friends that we all know. We have mutual friends playing Optimus football at a certain park. I don't want to give no, you know, call out to the park, but we live not even a half a mile away from the park. We would all walk to practice and walk home from practice. And maybe, I remember I'm 13 playing, I was 13 years old. I was walking home one night, guys, group of guys ride by and truck, the big 4x4 trucks.
On the big wheels.
Yes, with the big wheels, with the rebel flag and everything. Still kind of blind to the fact, what is that all about? You know, not really, you know, because my parents, we wasn't taught anything about racism at the time. It was all about education coming out of my household. That was my parents' main goal, to get us educated. So, once again, we're walking home from practice. Group of maybe 6-7 of us, if not more. The truck pulls up, makes the racial slurs at all of us. And you're talking about a group of guys, young kids, racing home, running home, afraid for their lives, not knowing what's going on with these trucks, and the tires revving up, and the loud, you know, the just the racial tone and the racial slurs that was being thrown at us as they're in cars, basically chasing us on foot. We're running. I never forget it. Once again, we get home, all of us make it to our complex. You know, we all out of breath, crying. I'm going to be honest. We're 13-year-old. We're crying. Young boys crying, not knowing what was just going on. If they would have happened to catch one of us or caught one of us, excuse me, it could have been a friend or two gone, not knowing what was going on at the time. As we get older, we look back and we have this discussion all the time, like, wow, what if they would have caught one of us? What would have happened?
Wow, man. I mean, listening to you say that, and it's very clear that is so vivid in your mind, because it's almost embedded in your psyche.
Yeah.
And to have to experience that in elementary school, and then experience it again in middle school, it's time for a change. Like our grandparents and our great grandparents, they fought for the change that, you know, we haven't seen yet. We just haven't seen it yet. I mean, even with sports and everything that, you know, that should bring us together, we're still reminded on a daily basis of the separation between black and white. For me, it's really that simple.
Absolutely.
I think what we're seeing from a media standpoint, whether it be TV or social media, you know, it's great to see some of the white counterparts standing in solidarity with us, because that's what's needed to happen in order to have the change take place. Because coming from us, for some reason, as clear as day it is and as clear as they can see, they don't believe what we're saying to them. Although they see it with their own eyes, they don't believe the messages that we're saying to them. Stop killing our black men. So it takes for someone like them to be on the front lines and saying, enough is enough. I guess, you know, some of them feel like, now this has become an inconvenience to my everyday life because you can't stop doing the police brutality against black people. And now they see that how we're being treated and they're reacting to it. Talk to me about that.
Oh, man. Once again, I think, like I spoke early on, a lot of the, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of my friends, a lot of us were raised in households where, like I said, we were taught to educate. It was about education. And when I realized what racism and racist people are, it became a distraction to a lot of the education or educating that was supposed to be going on. Because now that's a whole nother thing or subject or situation that we have to defend. And you know what I'm saying, that really was not our battle. It's something that I think just got out of hand with, so they understand. I try not to use words that'll make me even sound like I have no racial bone in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And now, once I got a little older, now we're talking high school, and to answer your question, I went to a school where it was predominantly white, but it was a lot of the white people there, or white students, the kids, I should say, that took love. It was love. It was, I didn't see racism once again when it came to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So to see it now, I'm just figuring these are the same kids that I was seeing in high school who didn't see that racial, you know, barrier. They probably know it exists home, but some did not want to, you know, carry that burden of being a racist.
Right.
And to see it now, to see the togetherness, that's, you know, that's something, to me, it's a surprise only because it's like, it's open. You guys are finally seeing it. It's not really a surprise to us, like you were saying. It's something that's been going on for years before me.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? That's when it was at its worst. And all I ever wanted to ask, whoever's a racist, or what is it? Why? You know, I don't want to give my opinion to why it is, because I don't really like to give it no fuel when it comes to racism.
Okay.
But
that's almost fair.
You know, but it's almost one of I love the fact, because honestly, you know, I have interracial family members, love them to death. It's no, and I don't look at it like they're a mix, you know, from a mixed family. I look at them as a human being. It's my family member. But I know it's people on the outside, both, you know, my brothers and my sisters, from both sides, because I don't like to use a race thing. But it is what it is. So to see it happening today, the togetherness, I'm just all for that, 100% for that. And it's like, I still feel like a lot of attention, though, is getting shoved the wrong way when they're mentioning the looting and all the other nonsense that's going on, because that's a whole nother evil in itself. Because
yes,
that point, a lot of that stuff I'm seeing, it's like they're trying to still, once again, distract what we're trying to do. Everything is trying to be positive. We understand that everything, you know, when it's time to be positive, it's sometimes not always taken as being positive. You know,
right.
So you have the other distractions with the looters and stuff. Of course, that's not positive, and of course, that has nothing to do with the main topic of why
mm-hmm.
everybody's even marching and protesting.
Right.
I think a lot of that looting stuff is getting too much attention.
I would definitely have to agree with you there. It does take away from the real issue at hand, and it's the elephant in the room that our culture already knows exists. But it's other cultures that want to pretend and act like they don't know it exists. In our culture, you know, we're taught to, you know, have faith, believe, be peaceful, turn the other cheek. And just an example that I'm going to use, the battered wife syndrome. At some point, that battered wife has to make a decision. She's either going to stay in that abusive relationship, and the abuser can end up killing her, but she's already experiencing a psychological abuse, an emotional abuse, along with the physical abuse from the abuser. So at some point, that battered wife is going to become fed up, and she's going to go into survival mode. And survival mode means I have to live. I want to live.
Yeah.
And that makes her, in turn, have to subdue her abuser, whether that means harming them or killing them. But when we're talking about survival mode, that's what I get from the battered wife syndrome. And that's what I compare these events to, because we're tired of getting beat down by you physically, mentally, emotionally, and then you still want us to stand up tall and be respectful
and
fall in line. How? You know, how? Enough is enough. We teach bullying in school. You know, if a kid is getting bullied in school, you tell your child, the teacher tells the kid, you know, if you're getting bullied, you tell me. So, okay, the kid tells the teacher, hey, such and such is bullying me. The teacher's supposed to take some form of action. So now when the parent gets that information and the kid comes back and tells the parent they're still bullying me, the parent is going to protect their child. They're calling the principal now because, see, I see the teacher, you can't handle it. So I go to the principal. Principal, if you can't handle it, now I'm talking to the superintendent of the school. Like, there's steps that's taken. But when we know something is going on and something is going wrong, this could have been fixed long ago, but because it's not acknowledged and it's not respected, it's just swept under the rug. But right now, as you see, this generation, the millennials, and the new generation coming up, they don't have the same amount of patience nor understanding that our generation has, your generation has, and the generations before them. They want answers, and they want answers now. They're not, you have people peacefully protesting and just wanting answers. But like you said, the looting and all of that, that's a totally different beast. But we can't navigate away from the true fact of George Floyd's death, which is not the only death of this magnitude that has taken place. The police brutality in this country, in the history of police brutality, has been going on for hundreds and thousands of years. America was founded on violence, and now America is telling the people of America to not be violent. Make that make sense for me?
At all. And just go from there, Takara. Like I say, a lot of this, to me, the racism, it's all about lack of education. Because if we want to, you know, talk about education, we go back and look on it, how this country, first of all, by Native Americans, you know, how and who took it over from them. And then you want to talk about our people, our ancestors, who and how we were even brought here and how it happened, you know. So if everyone just start educating themselves on the world and who is causing all the mayhem and why are they causing all the mayhem, see, I think that's the problem because, like I said, the good and the bad is the same as the right and wrong. To call you and I both know, if I'm walking with one of my black friends or if I'm walking with one of my Caucasian white friends or one of my Hispanic friends, it doesn't matter. If I'm walking with either one and one is attempting to do something wrong, I tell whoever I'm with no, you know, or I go the opposite way. I exclude myself from the problem. So what I'm saying is if everyone took the initiative to remind
yes.
themselves, if they have to, what's right and what's wrong.
Okay.
You know what
now,
I'm saying? That's how the race, that's how that really evolved and got so big. No one, everyone got away from morals, teaching right from wrong.
Okay. Now let me ask you this question.
Because
you did mention education.
Yes.
Are you speaking, do we as the black culture need to be educated or our white Caucasian counterparts need to be educated?
Absolutely not. To be honest with you, a little both for my brothers, for my black brothers and sisters who are not educated on these topics, I encourage them to educate themselves. And, of course, I open the door for all my white brothers and sisters out there to not only educate themselves, but they know, just like we, you know, they know who are the racist parts of their party and their environments. So I challenge all my white friends to try to channel the people that they know that are racist and try to encourage them to educate themselves on the black culture.
Okay. Because now, correct me if I'm wrong here. We have groups of them that are cool with us, want to be cool with us, but when it's time to fight on the front lines with us, they disappear into the abyss.
That's the danger of it all. That's the problem we're having. That right there, because I would never throw anyone under the bus or say any names, but I'm pretty sure you know also, because I'm still friends with both male and female of the white race that I know in high school, in our younger days, they were dating blacks and vice versa. I know some of the white guys that were dating black girls and some of the white girls that were dating black guys. But, you know, give or take, you know, that's here or there. But nowadays I go and see, you know, how we're living through social media now and to see and hear some of the stuff that is being said. And it's like, whoa, wow, not all of them. Don't get not all of them.
Yeah, but
enough
of them.
It makes you like, wow, really?
Yeah.
So what make you feel like that now versus when we were young and in high school, you know, it's kind of weird. It's
right.
Like an on-off switch. I want to be a racist
right.
now.
Right.
Versus just what about love? What about peace?
And that's what we're saying.
I definitely want. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Takar.
No, you're good.
But I want to put this saying out. My brother have a Facebook. He posted something on Facebook, and I really said, bro, I think that's one of the best quotes I ever heard. And all it was simple. It was like something to the nature of why can't we rest in peace? Why do we have to die to rest in peace?
Come on now.
I'm like,
come
bro,
on now.
That's dope.
Come on
bro.
Now. And now I want to ask you this because this is how embedded this type of behavior that we've been receiving in our culture for so long. You can be driving in your car, right? You don't have to be committing a crime. You did not have to be speeding, ran a stop sign, committing no crime whatsoever, just driving in your car. And when the police pulls up behind you, tell me right now in this moment, if you were riding and the police pulled up behind you, what instantly goes through your head? Do you sit straight up in your seat and start, like, trying to get right?
Takar, the honest truth, and this is not make-believe, the first, and it has happened up to numerous amounts of time, the first thing I do, Takar, is pray, honestly, on everything. And that, to me, I think that's sad in itself. And it's not that I'm praying not to get a ticket. I'm not even praying not to go to jail.
Praying to live.
I'm praying to live. Let me get out of the situation, Lord, please.
And you're not committing a crime.
I can deal with a ticket. I can deal with a ticket. Whatever I did, officer, I can deal with the ticket. If, and, you know, I can deal with, I know I'll burn out, but I can't deal with the brutality. I really can't. I really can't, and that's what I pray for.
We're talking innocent, didn't commit a crime, didn't do nothing, and you're praying to just not get beat up and to live. Like, why?
Yes.
Why does our culture have to do that? Like, why do we have to teach our young men growing up, hey, if police stop you, put your hands up. They're killing us even with our hands up. George Floyd was murdered while handcuffed on the ground. Think about that. On the ground.
No picture, no video I saw from no angle showed this guy resisting, showing him saying anything out of the, you know, what maybe, you know, anybody will be upset, but not to the nature of losing that life.
Right.
And he never did anything, you know, like they say, if it was over a fraudulent $20 bill, if that was the situation, okay, take him to jail, write him a ticket, whatever. He lives.
Right. The owner of
and
that
really
store.
Had to escalate that.
Yeah, the owner of the store actually made a statement and basically said that he wasn't there at the time that this happened, but if he was there, he would not have called the police because he knows Big George and he's a teddy bear. So the narrative that they can even try to put out there that he was aggressive, it already got debunked. It was debunked.
Right.
He's not that guy. Too many people have came and have became character witnesses to the spirit and the character of this man. And now
right.
we have another young child, young daughter, 6 years old, without a father. You know, his son now has to go through life without a father. You know, is this not fair to our community and what's been happening? 400 years of oppression. When you multiply 400 times 365, that is 146,000 plus days that our culture has been getting brutalized. And we see complaints from people who want to throw out all lives matter. Nobody is saying that all lives don't matter. What we're saying is
correct.
We're tired of the 146,000 days of our lives not mattering. That's what we're saying.
Right.
Not just 7 days of, you know, not just 7 days of all lives matter. No, we're talking about 146,000 days plus of our lives not mattering. But you profit off of our lives.
Exactly. And all lives are not treated the same. That's what needs to be said.
Absolutely not.
You know, if that's the case, you know what I mean? And for one thing, I just wonder what is it. I really wonder what it is. Because it's not the fact that I don't agree, and I know it's in every race that we have a-holes, jerks in every race, every nationality. So don't throw me and my family into the pot of the bad guys. Because if that's the case, we all can be doing that to each race and to each, you know what I'm saying? It's not about that. It's something that I just think the masses know and they're keeping it from us. So that's why I always say about education. Because once we find out and we become one, I think we'll be, you know, considered and once again be able to put our crowns on our heads, because that's what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
The unity of ourselves. That's one thing I always try to tell each one of us. Every race of people that I know, they stick together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're getting brutalized, and like you say, it's been 400 years, and we as a people still seem like we can't get it together. You know,
right.
And that's one thing that holds me down. Like, only if we knew, we would have been surpassed this stuff. If we as one, excuse me, I almost fell. If we as one can just overcome. I just think that's what's missing, us getting together as a people, understanding, not saying we're trying to be vigilant or some vigilantes, excuse me, of everything, but we will be vigilant of the situations. It can make us understand things and how to approach and handle things a little better, because they always think all we want to do is fight, war, which is getting to that point as a whole. Because everyone is starting, you know, we have some that's joining and understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once we get everyone on board, I think we will push the races and the BS out. I can see it happening.
And I'm going to go back to something that you said earlier when you said you don't know why it's happening. You don't necessarily have a reason of why it's happening. Let me ask you this question: let's take it to sports, because we can make sports be we can make that be an analogy to what we're speaking of. We're in a game, right? You're the coach, and our team is up by 30, right? This other mm-hmm. team has zero chance of coming back. Now, do you take the road of I'm not gonna just continue to crush this team, even though I know we can go up another 30 points? Or
mm-hmm.
do I just say, hey, we defeated them. You know, they're defeated. And, you know, we're going to take it easy for the duration of this game. Because that's the mindset.
Yeah.
I feel like the black culture, if people didn't view us as superior, that we're superior, they wouldn't be trying to keep us down so much. Because you don't try to...
Correct.
You don't try to keep someone down who can't get themselves up, can't pick themselves up. But we've proven mm-hmm. we can pick ourselves up with less, with your scraps that you give us, with mm-hmm. your lack of that you give us. And all you did mm-hmm. was create these strong giants that you just keep trying to suppress. But one thing you can't stop is growth. And see, that's what we're experiencing
correct.
Right now in my eyes. Is the growth. So no matter how you try to contain it, you can say what you want, you cannot stop the growth of what you've created. You created these monsters, in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? And now you're afraid.
Absolutely. And see, that's the first thing. I think, once again, they have to, when I say they, it's those who are racist, you know, and that's full of the racism. They have to first identify that they are, which I'm pretty sure they do. They know it. But they have to first admit to why they feel to be the way they are. And then I'm pretty sure that you've already put the answer out there if they would admit it. That's why I always said to myself, what is it? Tell me. They say the truth shall set you free. And we're not free yet as a people.
Right.
So I'll leave that out there.
Man, it's sad, man. I mean, it's truly sad that it takes these types of situations for us as a culture to come together. Because earlier you mentioned that, you know, we're not all the way together as one as we should be. But
correct.
It takes these tragic situations and for us to lose our lives for people to understand, like, you know, there's a problem in America. I want to jump to something that it has to be said. the leadership in our country, well, the lack of leadership in our country, is number one part of the problem. But I'm going to give you my devil's advocate analogy, because I know on the surface, when you get in your feelings, it's like, you know what? He's not for us. It's not that. But, you know, we come from a culture of faith, right?
Yes.
So let me tell you about this faith. What if God is using that man, to spearhead the transitional change that from, remember in Genesis, in the Bible, in Genesis, your people will suffer 400 years of affliction, right? And that 400 years is up. The transition that's coming, nobody said it was going to be easy. We know that through every transition that there was a war. So now, here's the transition happening, and we're watching it right before our eyes. And that man that's supposed to be leading our country, he is the best person to lead it for the transition to happen. Best person to lead it for the transition to happen.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
And a person like, I'm glad you opened up that can, because the other night when I listened to this, to that number 45 guy speak, he told it. He said it. He said out of his mouth, MAGA likes black people. MAGA accepts black people. I don't know if you did you hear that?
I didn't hear it, because MAGA is black people, in my opinion. See, to be honest, me as a black man can't say it. Me as a black woman, I can say it. They don't feel threatened if I say it. If you say it, it comes from a... In their minds, they feel threatened by you saying it. I say it, they don't feel a threat. So I'm going to say it for you. MAGA is black people. Go ahead.
Yes. And for him, that's what I'm saying. He, to me, was trying to, send a message with that statement, basically. You know, like, it is a difference, but we accept. What do you mean you accept black, MAGA accepts black people? So you're telling me it's a difference with the MAGA you are saying it is a hidden agenda behind that? Is there a message behind the whole MAGA thing? Like some of us already know it is. Just say it. The truth. Put it all out there. It's like, stop trying to urinate on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know what I'm saying? Put it out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one thing, you know, just to use another little, now that, with this whole thing. I look at it, you know, I shouldn't use it as a, you know, but like in a street fight, or if you have a problem with someone on the street, I respect anyone. If I had a problem, if you're going to, like the old days, let's fight it out or whatever, but we're going to man up and we're going to put up, you know, we're going to put the hands up and we're going to fight like men, like boxing. Right. That's why I love the sport of boxing. I love that way of combat versus you sneaking up on me, sneak attacking me, beating me up or hurting me up. That's coward to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is a coward, you know. So hitting, doing things, you know, of course you can pull wools over people's head if you're constantly hiding things. So nobody's out to try to figure things out. That shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So who has time for that? You know, trying to always figure out these things. If you're hiding them, like the movie. What was it? Hidden Figures or Hidden Numbers or something to that nature?
Hidden Figures.
But look how long that whole message was hidden. A lot of people probably still miss that message. Miss, you know, how those young ladies overcame. Probably never even know that story.
Right.
And that should be when you talk Amelia Earhart and all of those people, that should be a story out there just like that.
Right.
The Wright brothers and all of that stuff they want to throw out there.
So let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was done.
So what do you think is the steps for moving forward? You know, what do you think happens in order for us to move forward? Because the pandemic happening, I'm back on my, you know, it's I'm back in my faith. It's God working. You know, you got to stay in the house. God already done shut the country down. You know what I mean? We slowly trying to open it back up. And we said when the pandemic hit that things were not going to be the same how it was before the pandemic hit. Things would definitely, we have a new normal. This situation, for me, you know, as tragic as it is, we definitely have to have a new normal with how this world is going to function. Because people are, you know, even, you know, with Kaepernick, you know, he disrespected the flag. But that flag and the Constitution, it doesn't protect people that look like you and I. So that has to change. That has to change.
What's the biggest stage? What was the biggest stage in football? One of the biggest sports. That's the biggest profession right now when it comes to sports. Surpassed baseball. That should be America's pastime right now. So he used his platform, but a lot of people want to, once again, want to mix it and try to stir up something that he was not even talking about. Distractions. We all know it wasn't about the military.
Right.
But a lot of the other, you know, I'm going to say the other side, for those who took it as he was disrespecting the military, it was not a shot at the military. He said it. We all knew it. It was to bring awareness to police brutality and all of this, you know, the misinjustices that's going on. So it's like, I don't understand why people were still trying to mix the facts, the actual factuals, you know? And it's like, I think that was like what you're saying. That started it. That was heaven sent. The biggest stage, get everyone's attention. And now, look, you blackballed this young man from a living. So be it a sport, but that was his life. He had to pay, took food off his table. You know, you try to make him as the bad guy. You try to assassinate his character when he was only trying to promote the right things. And then you turn around a couple years later for this to pop up. And like you said, the change has started. It has started. Let's look back what just went in the 90s with the Rodney King. They were saying it's just us being ignorant and tearing up California. That's ignorant. Look at them and all of this. Still looting was going on also, the same stuff. But now, fast forward, look at the crowd, look at the difference in the protesting and the rioting and all the riots that's going on. Look at the difference. We're in it together for those, like I said, that's in it together.
Yeah.
Color shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be
It shouldn't.
It really shouldn't. And one thing that's sad to say, like, once educating yourself and seeing what racism is, you know, a form of prejudice at its highest form, it's like the question now is like, if anyone should have been racist after they were treated and how they were treated, is who? I'm just going to leave that out there.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like the saying that the kids say now, how you beat me getting mad?
How do you? How do you? It's amazing. I mean, it truly is amazing that I can literally watch my cousins, friends, uncles, you know, I can literally watch the police treat them a certain type of way. And you actually want me to not have any feelings or ill will about how you just treated them. And a lot of the times, for no reason. I'm talking about for no reason. It's easy to say you fit the description. Everybody fit a description at the end of the day.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's going to fit a description that you want them to fit. You get what I'm saying? It's the lack of respect. It's the lack of respect that you have for this, for a culture of people that you just don't want to respect them. I mean, what else is it? You just literally don't want to respect them. You want to bully them, continue to bully them, and think they're going to take it. No, that can't keep happening. And history always repeats itself. History repeats itself. We seen the Caucasian woman standing in the park with a dog calling the police on the black guy as if he was attacking her. He was nowhere near her. And guess what? She took more heat, not for making the phone call, not for lying on the man, but for choking the dog. She took more heat from how she handled the dog.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Come on, America. Come on now.
Yes.
If you now listen. Go ahead.
No, I'm enjoying it, and I agree with everything you're saying. And I was all I was gonna say is, if I had one thing to say, and maybe I could calm the racist ears, is there's nothing to be afraid of.
It's not.
The only thing that I know as a people, we're the most loving people. The stuff that you know, they know. Of course, you see a lot. Like I said, every race, every nationality, we have people that act up in our. That's how it is. So if people just take time out to get to know one another, we would. Oh man, because I honestly think that I do it. They're good people, on every side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, on both sides of the ball. They are. And it's like, I just want the good to keep recognizing the good. And I do believe we'll push out the bull. That's all I think going to happen. That can happen.
Okay.
Because, once again, they're going to keep hiding. It's never going to be no admission to why their race is or what, none of that stuff. So, you know, as long as the white kids and the black kids can take it back to when I was in elementary school and continue to play, and can, you know, weave out what's been said about that same father that pulls up after a hard day's work or whatever he had going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it happens. You don't teach it. We all admit and we know and we can agree to that. It's not taught. I mean, it is taught.
Right.
We're not born racist. We're not born with that stuff.
Right.
The ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Let me make you think for a second. Yeah, let me make you think. Mm-hmm. They will pay money to see you compete in whatever sport, but they will cross the street to get away from you if y'all was crossing each other's paths.
Isn't that crazy?
Make it crazy.
Let me tell you, did you see the one? Let me tell you about what's going on the internet the other day. I said, a young black male, he's about 6'5", 6'6", sitting down minding his own business, a couple guys with him. About two guys, it was three total. One was videoing him just sit there. And you had three officers just walk up to the guy, told him, "Are you such and such?" The gentleman replied, "No, I'm not." And replied his name to him.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Well, you look like him." Stand up and try to grab the guy, put him in handcuffs. The guy, like, he's telling me, "Take these handcuffs off me now, right now." So they put the handcuffs and they're going in his pocket. So he tells his friend, "You keep this camera rolling. Watch this." So as they go to his ID, they find that he's a federal agent.
Yep.
And you should have. Did you see the looks on those officers?
I seen the backpedaling. Yes, sir. I seen the backpedaling. They would say, "Oh, we do this all the time with people. You know, we think you're someone." We said, No.
They do, and that's another admission right there. It's like, y'all do that all the time.
Yes.
See, world, this is the stuff that we were telling you guys 20 years ago, and 20 years ago before that, and the 20 years before that, this is what we've always been screaming. It's not fair. We're not being treated equal for whatever reason. Cops pull us over. We might not make it home for whatever reason they have in their, you know, But in their agendas as cops, they want to make it home safe. So
of
you
course.
Don't think, as a young black man, we don't want to make it to our families either?
Right. Exactly. Why are the young black men's lives even in jeopardy? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
At all.
I think one of the things that we have to tackle as well, is, first and foremost, our local elections, because that directly affects you. The presidential election affects you as well, but let's talk about the direct effect. the local elections, we have, because that's city to city, county to county.
Ma'am.
We have a lot of control over that. Now, with the presidential election, you know, it's the Electoral College, those 13 votes that count, and that's how the President of the United States is elected, through the Electoral College. But the local elections, let's dig into that a little bit.
We definitely have to make a difference there, because these are the guys that's appointing these so-called sheriffs, and it's not enough backgrounds being put on these offices. That's another thing I would highly recommend as a citizen, that we try to get the right people in positions to where they do the right laws and these right statutes, and definitely I wish they can look deeper into these backgrounds of the officers, all the way beyond high school back, because that's a lot of that stuff you're bringing in also as officers, guys who have agendas, who had problems in high school, whether it was they didn't make the basketball team because a black guy made it, or a football team. Who knows what was their agenda? Lost a girlfriend to a black guy. Who knows? But
right.
It's something that's ticking these guys off. And it's not fair. It definitely is not fair. Like I said, if you have a problem with someone, you address it. You don't walk around with a hidden agenda and you sneak attack and you attack people at night and where people can't see. Thank God. Carl, let me just stop to say this. Thank God for technology.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Let's thank God for technology right now. Ever since the Rodney King, not only technology, with knowledge also, because we saw what happened with Rodney King, and they still made their judgment on that.
And they got off.
That's what I'm saying. They got off, but they gave him what they did now is what they're saying. Okay, we're going to keep our guy, we're going to keep our people from going to jail. We'll give you guys a couple of dollars.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it was fun. It's like they're trading.
You hit it on the head. We can't keep taking the hush money, man. We can't keep taking the hush money. Not the hush money.
Exactly. It's not that. Expose it. You got to expose this for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
And we need policy
if you
want to change.
Stop anything, if you want to stop anything that you're doing wrong, what do?
I'm telling
you
that.
Chris Hansen. You call Chris Hansen, let's do Dateline, and you expose it. I always think that's the biggest way. You expose people for what they really are.
I understand that. And
you,
I think
you,
the
you
hardest
understand what
thing,
I'm saying with that?
Yeah. But I think the hardest thing, because like I said, we watched the brutal beating of Rodney King on camera,
yes.
And they were able to get off. So I think the hardest thing to understand was, and it still is that we have video footage. They tell you the tape doesn't lie. We have a documented incident of a man running away from a police officer. He didn't pull out his taser and, you know, shoot him with a stun gun. He pulled out the actual gun and shot the man down in cold blood. We seen Fernando Castillo in a car with his kid in the back and his fiance on the side tell the police officer, hey, I'm about to grab my ID from my back pocket. And we see the police officer open fire. We see Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old kid on the park, police pull up, no questions asked, open fire. This is all on camera. These people get off on camera. That's scary, and it's hard to believe that we're protected, even with the film filming these people. That's the scary part.
Takar, and let me just piggyback and open some eyes up on this.
Mm-hmm.
From every incident you just called, and the one that you haven't mentioned, the Trayvon Martins of the world. Just think, they're showing us in every way. Can kill you from the Rodney King beatings where he didn't die,
mm-hmm.
from the choking of what was the guy in New York, I think it was, where they choked the guy
Garner.
I think they choked
Eric
him
Garner.
To death. They put the knee in Mr. Floyd's neck. Sandra Bland,
mm-hmm.
they find her hanging. They're showing it doesn't matter. We don't have to just use the guns. We're doing it every way. That's
mm-hmm.
more the sickening part about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're using every aspect to just take a life. And that, to me, that's one of those things that's against the Ten Commandments. Thou shall not kill.
And you know what? The first thing they'll throw up at you is the Bible. That's the first thing they'll throw in your face. That's the Bible.
And
God is love.
Even
Jesus
though he held
love,
it up upside down, he held it up the other day.
Oh, man.
And I think it was very disrespectful the way he did that whole situation.
Oh, man.
It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's very crazy. And it's like, he's the leader, and he's sending those subliminal messages out, and they're acting on it. And it's for us as a people, black, white, Hispanic, for all that disagree what's going on, to stand up, stand strong, stand tall.
Yeah.
We outnumber them. We will become the masses.
Absolutely.
We are the masses.
We are the majority.
We only just took, you know, yes.
We are the majority.
We are the people.
I believe this right here. You think about this now. Think about this. If I was reigning in power for 400 some odd years, right? And all of a sudden I knew, because we know all great kingdoms, all great empires must fall at some point, right?
Yes.
So if I've been ruling for 400 plus years and I can see just as clear as day my empire is falling, you know they're going to fight like hell to try to keep it, but you cannot.
Right.
You cannot stop the inevitable from happening. And remember, what's last will now be first. I know they don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen. You can't prevent it. So the same Bible that they try to use to suppress us is the exact same Bible that's going to be used to make us rise above. Now, we went through hell and high water, because we don't have to be living in hell on earth. We can live in heaven on earth. You don't have to make my life hell. Don't make me believe that I have to not be of this world to get my riches in heaven. I want my riches now.
Correct.
Just like you enjoying yours, I want mine. Why I can't have it?
Correct. Why?
Why I can't have it?
And one thing I heard from a friend earlier, and I think it touches on the whole thing that's going on too, what we have to learn as people, black, white, Hispanic, all, you know, when I say people, everyone, we have to learn to try to understand the difference in us all. Whether you accept it or not, just get an understanding of what makes us different. It shouldn't be nothing we frown upon. I was having this conversation with one of my buddies when we were talking sports. And I told him we was not going to do sports tonight. And I told him the thing about it, what's going on also, it's like, Takara, if you have an opinion on something, I should not get mad at your opinion. We have people argue each other's opinions. They fall out and don't speak with each other. Wait, it's only an opinion. I mean,
right.
And that's part of understanding the difference in each other. If we can somehow have a – and I know I'm that type of person. I can have a conversation with no matter who you are. I can have a conversation with you if you can have a conversation with me. That would be the thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like I'm open-minded. I'm open for anything, any conversation, you know. And at the end of the day – the old saying, because at the end of the day, what you eat don't make me crap. So, you know, it's still okay to have a conversation, though. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think people are afraid of that. For what reason? I don't know. I get enjoyment learning from other people, their cultures of what they deal with. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Right. Dialogue is important.
Passing judgment.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
open dialogue is important. Like you said, with an open mind, you know, we can learn from one another if we just had an open mind. It's when if you're telling me something and I don't wanna hear nothing you're telling me, of course I'm not gonna learn anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you're gonna become frustrated, like, you know, you would be frustrated at trying to tell me whatever it is you're trying to tell me, and I'm just closed off to it, not even open to hearing your thoughts, how you feel, how this comes off, nothing. So we won't get anything solved if there's no open dialogue. And like you said, respecting each other's opinion. It's okay to agree to disagree. That's perfectly fine.
Yes. Yep.
The problem that we're faced with right now is that, see, the other party or the opposition just don't want to admit, because all it takes is you admitting that you're wrong. That's all.
That's the hardest thing
for them to do right now is admit that they're wrong. That's why you're hearing the All Lives Matter. Oh, he's a criminal. No, I don't care what that man did. That doesn't justify you putting your knee on his neck for 9 minutes and taking his life. Bottom line. They tell you don't be violent. But talk to me on this. Do we not have the electric chair in our society? Okay, is that not violent?
Exactly. Exactly.
Just make it make sense.
That's what I say about the, I guess they want to say the great America, the country we live in, you know, what's not great about it right now? They want to make it great again. What do you mean again? You know, for one. So, to me, that's what I'm saying about when we were talking about the MAGA situation. The way he's using it, make America great again. So what is wrong? What are you saying? And his whole agenda was kick people out of here. And you see the people he was aiming at. So that's all that hidden agenda stuff, that racist stuff. You know, and it's like we got to undo that. Once we undo that, then I think we can start whoever else is in line for this. They're going to have something on their hands, but I think anybody is better than right now.
All right. Let me ask you this when it comes to, because, you know, just going through social media and just seeing the different things that people are saying, you have a great number of people stating that we don't have a quote unquote black leader. Like, listen, I've tried to come up with this person and I can't. Like, if I was to pinpoint, hey, this is our black leader, you know, this is the person, I find myself having a hard time coming up with that person. But let me ask you this, because we've seen great black leaders in Martin Luther King, they killed him, he was peaceful. Malcolm X, they killed him, he was eye for an eye. So with this situation right now, you have these protests on every angle in different parts of the country, all over, even overseas they're protesting, but not having a quote-unquote go-to black leader, they cannot stop the spread of what's happening. Because when you have that one person that we look to for guidance as far as leadership from a human being standing on this earth with us, see, they could take that person out and they know they got us. They don't have us right now. They don't
have
us.
I think that's a great thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm telling you.
Since we're both sports heads, what's harder to stop? A team that's got one superstar?
Come on, man. Stop him, Michael. Listen, it's not a coincidence that they showed us The Last Dance. It's not a coincidence.
Correct.
400 years is up. We just watched The Last Dance. I'm telling you, this is their last dance. This is their last hurrah. This is the last hurrah. The shift in power is turning to the people. They don't like it.
Yes.
But they know they can't stop it.
Yeah, and it's almost, you know, I know I'm just throwing things out there, but to me, the way the country, how I look at how a lot of the racist stuff is, you know, being portrayed out there. We just had our first black president.
Yes. Two-term president. Yep.
To me, that ticked off some of the masses to throw in a guy like this as an incumbent president after that great, you know, 8 years that we had with Obama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all of that right there is kind of, it seemed like it might have ticked, like, really?
Right.
We're trying to take it another way, and that's how you guys come back? That's your rebuttal?
I think that kicked them in the butt, man. I really think it kicked them in the butt, because I think they potentially thought that it would go a different route, but he's untamed. He doesn't listen to them, which works out for us.
Correct.
And this is why I say he's being used by our power and don't even know it. And they can't see it. They can't see it either. You know what I'm saying? If you know, they got the blinders on, they can't see it, because remember, they're used to being in power. They're not used to being inferior to anyone.
Correct.
Not at all. They're used to,
and that's the way the ball is turning right now.
Right. We literally are the Chicago Bulls of the 90s getting past the bad boy Detroit Pistons.
Exactly.
We become mentally tough. We become stronger. We understand strength in numbers, and we understand everybody has to play their role. We
don't
take a championship.
Right. And the funny thing, and it's all we're saying, and just by us expressing it the way we are, all we're saying is I'm really glad that people get it now. That's one of my most things are coming out. I was like, oh, they get it. Yes, they're getting it. Because we're not getting it, it seemed like we were falling further behind, because it seemed like they don't get it. They don't understand.
Right.
You know, and I don't wish anything on anyone, but just think, you know, Mr. Floyd definitely, he has opened the eyes of a lot of people with this.
Did you hear what his daughter said?
What did he say?
His daughter, 6-year-old daughter, she was on Steven Jackson's neck, and he was holding her up in the air, and she said, "My daddy changed the world." 6-year-old.
Yes.
6-year-old, and she said, "My daddy changed the world."
Yes.
Man.
And that's just how the man upstairs works. He takes someone who, I'm not going to say a nobody, because he's somebody to somebody, you know, but he takes someone who's not known, and look what he did to him a week later.
Yeah. Listen, the man upstairs has been trying to get America's attention for the past few years and more, even more. They wouldn't listen. They really wouldn't. For whatever reason, they didn't listen. They didn't join in. But now you see the coming together. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I coach at a predominantly white school. I was side-eyeing my school, because I just needed to know that you are acknowledging what's going on in this world is not right. And I got that acknowledgement today, so I was happy on that. Even my coach at Texas A&M, he put out a statement on social media on his Twitter account that what's going on in this world isn't right. That warmed my heart to see people that don't look like me. Yes.
Right. That's what gets
acknowledged
also.
Yes. Just to acknowledge it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know there's some people out there that don't believe that this is not right, but they're coming out and saying, "We don't condone in that," because they know the backlash that's going to come with that.
Yes. Yes.
America has been, yes.
No, that's what I was saying earlier. When it's all up, at the end of the day, it's about right and wrong. It's like I said, if I'm with any friend of any nationality, if they're going to go do something wrong, I'm going to check them on that. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check them on that. If we're going to get combative or whatever, okay, I, you know, exclude myself from the equation. It's just that simple. Because I know right from wrong. Maybe back in the days, I probably would have fell victim to being a knucklehead.
Right.
Which I think that's what the world is doing, is they're throwing us all in the knucklehead category, and we're not, man. I know a lot of educated young black men. I know, you know, successful black men. Successful people. Period.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm just glad, like you say, I hate that what happened to Mr. Floyd happened, but it brings joy to see it's paying off. It's something behind it. It's not in vain. His life will not be in vain.
Right. It's scripture. Lean not to your own understanding. That is hard to understand. Trust me, it's hard to understand. But lean not to your own understanding.
Yes.
That's one of the hardest things to comprehend. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard to comprehend that, because in the midst of tragedy, I know for me, I can't speak for everyone, there's no understanding. You know, I lost my dad at the age of 8. It's no understanding. You cannot comprehend it. You know, you just can't comprehend it.
It touches me every time you talk about it, Takara. That touches me every time I hear you talk about it, because that's my daughter. She's 9, actually, and
right.
I can't imagine. So that's why every time I hear you go there, I'm like, that's
right.
tough. And I applaud the person you became, and I tell you that all the time. Keep striving.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't finished with you yet, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard, man. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard, man. It's hard because, you know, you have a void. It's a void that many don't understand.
Void. That's a huge void, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a void that many don't understand. And, man, I'm telling you, it's this year, you know, made 30 years that I didn't have my father with me. 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But thank God that I had a supportive family, man. And, you know, my mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm telling you, I could have went left for real. Like, left. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's why that one saying that they always say, the father won't put nothing on you that you can't bear.
Yeah.
And you see
it's
that?
Tough.
You put that was one of the, that's the heaviest weight.
Yeah.
And you benched it. You benched it 30 times.
It's
you
real,
know?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Losing mine, that's the little thing I say to myself, because I see the blessings starting to come. And just continue to do the right things in life. If everybody did that, I know I can be a testimony. It's just I'm waiting till he finished, so everybody can see it. You know what I mean? It's not for show and tell. You know what I'm saying? It's all about inspiring, inspiration. That's all I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Inspire somebody to always be great at whatever they're trying to do.
And the last thing I want to touch on before we go and get off, they have arrested all officers that were involved in that situation. They have arrested all the officers that were involved in that situation. Now it is going to take a minute before it gets to trial. But step one, they have arrested everybody that was involved in that situation. You know, what words do you have, you know, for the people? Because I'm telling you, everybody's emotions are high, and we want the instantaneous results right now, but it's going to take some time. So what words do you have, you know, for the listeners about the process that it's going to take to get justice at the end of this all?
Well, first of all, I want to say it like this. It's glad to know that it's going to be a party. I'm glad that I'm invited to a party. I just want to go to a party, have a successful party, and leave and come home at the end of the night to my family. What I'm saying is, it's okay to bring these charges, but it ain't final until he gets it. I want a conviction. The conviction means party over, I can go home to my family.
Yes.
So all this other stuff, it's cool, I'm happy, but we saw what happens in Rodney King. We saw it already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? I'm thrilled that all officers have the right, and they all supposed to be locked up.
Right.
Because Takara, if you and I and a couple friends went out and one of us committed a crime and we were all there, guess what? We all accessories to that.
Yes, absolutely.
One of us go out and commit a murder, and we're all liable to be charged with murder.
Absolutely.
If all of us go out and one of us get killed, the rest of us will get charged for the murder. So,
yes.
I mean, what's the difference?
Yes. There is none. Let's practice what we preach.
Exactly. We're not talking. So what? If we were all doctors and all this happened, and we were all firemen and all this happened, and we were all civilians and all this happened, we would all get the same punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So what's
absolutely
the difference? Just because the job, forget the job title as being police officers. As human beings, you guys committed a law against the law of the land and against the constitutional rights. Thou shalt not. I mean, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
Unlawfully, someone unlawfully.
Mm-hmm.
Straight murder.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, straight murder.
Yes.
So
yes.
To me, it's like, okay, I'm glad everyone got the charges, but let's not get too happy until the party is over.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, understand that it is a process. That's step one. We have some more steps to go, and we will get there. It's not instantaneous, but we're going to get there.
Correct.
And I think with all these other tragedies that has happened within our community, I think the prosecutors, the attorney general, let's strategically do this thing now. Let's just not jump the gun, run and start making charges.
Correct.
That we can't make stick. We want them to stick.
Cross the T's. Let's cross
yes.
the T's.
Got every eye. Let's do it
yes.
20 times before we jump out there. You know what I mean? Because we want to be sure
right.
that we make it all stick.
And which I don't think, to call it honestly, and I don't think it should be that hard with what how the world is reacting to it.
Right.
Everyone know what they saw. I mean, you have to be wearing those racist eyelids or blindfolds to not have seen it. I mean, it is what it is. We saw it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it. There's no camera tricks going on. We saw it, what was going on, and it was intentional.
Right.
Because you had, what, over 14 minutes, 9 minutes, however the count was, to get off the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of opportunity to change the narrative. It didn't even have to be this. We are not supposed to know who George Floyd is. That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
That's
correct.
All I'm saying. Not for death, homie. We are not supposed to know
no.
who George Floyd is. Not because of death. No.
No way.
Absolutely
no
not.
No way.
Absolutely not. I want to end this on a positive note. Just breaking news, CNN is reporting it. Ferguson, Missouri, where Mike Brown was killed, another incident that happened in our community. They just elected their first black mayor, Ella Jones. Get out there and vote, man. Get out there and vote locally. It matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It matters.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yes.
Like you said, we got to make a change. We as a whole, we as a people.
Yes.
We
mm-hmm.
as a people, let's get together and let's make a change. Because
mm-hmm.
you see, Takara, we can't do it by ourselves.
Nah, we can't.
It'll turn to a whole another thing. It'll turn to a whole another program.
Yeah. The load is too heavy to carry individually. It's too heavy. That
yes.
load is too heavy
way
to
too
carry
heavy.
Individually.
Way
yes.
too heavy.
Yes, but
so,
collectively.
And that's what I'm thankful on that.
Mm-hmm. Collectively,
very
we got us something, man.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have any final words for tonight?
Well, I just want to leave my people with a little music as we leave out, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To bring some of it here to take. With that being said, Carter, next time, you know, we definitely got to make a change out of it.
Oh, yeah,
definitely
will. Definitely. We'll keep striving, we'll keep pushing, but most importantly, we got to do this thing together. We'll do this thing
yes,
together.
Ma'am.
Absolutely, so.
We can do it. It can be done. It will be done.
Absolutely. Definitely.
It was said.
It
was
written.
Done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes.
There we go. It's scripture.
Yes, it's written.
It's scripture. Our power does not lie in man. Absolutely does not.
Nope.
And remember, one thing that Bible does say, what scripture says, faith without action,
yep.
faith without works
yep.
is dead. We already got the faith. Now we're doing the work. Boy, they scared. I'm telling you right now. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening. Devin, thank you for sharing your experiences with us.
Man, no problem. Absolutely.
It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day.
And it gets brighter tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. And with that being said, people, y'all have a blessed good night. Stay peaceful if you are protesting. Just keep it with love, man. Keep it with love. And until next time.
God bless.
Yes, sir. Good night.